I have a question with. For okay. All right. You can't see me. So my question is, Pastor Paul told us that somewhere in between, Mark was written somewhere in between 57 to 65 AD. I asked him if there's an overlap of writings kay Paul, ay kay Luke. Kasi Luke was written during 58 to 65 AD.
Something like that.
Something like that. So,
yeah, whatever somewhere it says on there.
So there's an overlap.
Those are just estimate dates.
Okay.
We know that Luke was written after Mark. So we just don't know when anything was written exactly. Just those are just approximates based on sketchy information. Is that a hand? It definitely got it above your head, you know. You got to stretch like this, otherwise you get called on. Luke. Let's talk about Luke, not Luke Skywalker. Luke the evangelist. We call this the Gospel of the Gentiles. Who is the most prolific writer of the New Testament? Who said Jesus? I got to know who said Jesus.
Joey.
Now you're laughing.
Yes, the biggest.
Ten pages. No. Joe, you want to say something? You had your hand up. It was a silly comment, right? Who's the most prolific writer of the New Testament? Luke, yeah. What percentage?
27.
27. Who's number two?
Paul.
What percentage?
26,
yeah. So when next time, whenever you hear someone say, Paul wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, what do you say to him? Wrong-o. You need to take this class. Luke was a Gentile, the only one with an entry into the New Testament canon. So probably the only Gentile writer in the whole Bible. Luke was the beloved physician, so he was a doctor. His writings display his medical training and the terms he uses and the subject matter he covers. One of my favorite examples, of course, Luke as a doctor would want to protect the medical profession. And there's a great example of that in the comparison between how Mark describes the woman with the issue of blood and how Luke describes her. Let me give you the account. So Mark says, and a woman who had a hemorrhage for 12 years, listen to his wording, it's not in your notes, you just have to listen. Had a hemorrhage for 12 years, listen to the wording, this is Mark. And had endured much at the hand of many physicians. And had spent all that she had and was not helped at all, but rather had grown worse. That's how Mark describes it. Luke's description. Listen to this. And a woman who had a hemorrhage for 12 years and could not be healed by anyone. It makes it sound like it's her fault. We did our best. She just couldn't get healed. I don't know. Isn't that fascinating? See, that's just so beautiful that God allows the human personality to just seep through His Word. So it's truly the Word of man and truly the Word of God all at once, which makes it so interesting and so much fun to study. Joseph thought? Throw him a mic.
CJ and I were talking about doctors in those times. They're, like, if you, could you comment on that?
I probably can't. Maybe you can.
No, I can't. That was what I was asking.
Sounds like you know something I don't know about.
No, he just said, were there doctors? I said, yeah, there probably were. They had doctors and prescriptions and pills. So
absolutely.
I was wondering if you could comment on that.
That's about all I know.
Okay. Can we edit that from the
No, I don't care. I mean, we could ask Mark. He had an opinion about him. He thought they were all charlatans, just taking our money. Some things don't change. Luke was a close friend and companion of Paul, although he's probably not one of his converts. Probably not one of his converts. He meets Paul first in the city of Troas, probably around 49 AD on Paul's second missionary journey. Troas is in Asia Minor, just before Paul is on his way to Europe. He went with Paul then to Philippi, and he stays in Philippi when Paul leaves. And he is there, of course, that's 49 AD, and he remains there until the early part of 57 AD, when Paul comes back through Philippi once again on his way to Jerusalem. And so that's when Luke joins back up with him at 57 and is probably with him the rest of his life until 65, 66, whenever Paul died. Because we know he's with him in a Roman jail when everybody else has left him. Now, we know this because when we read the book of Acts, and we'll get there later, is at various different times, the account goes from the third person to the first person. So what does that tell us? When the account goes from the third person to the first person, what does that tell us, Glenn? What? Yeah, when? When's he not with him? Just always keep the mics on. Just don't turn them off.
Luke is not with Paul whenever he refers to Paul from a third person.
Yeah, whenever the writing's in the third person, Luke's not with him. When he goes to the first person, that means what? He joins him. Now, it's interesting, the book of Acts, this happens three different times. And it gives you a little insight into the character of Luke. Luke always leaves just before persecution. Yeah, you check it out three times. Always leaves just before persecution and always joins just before a boat ride. Just before they're about to get on a boat. All of a sudden, Luke shows up. What does that tell us? That Luke likes boats. Yeah. As a matter of fact, it's interesting. Acts chapter 27 is totally not in keeping with normal biblical narrative. You get way more details than we're used to. And that passage is considered one of the primary source documents for understanding navigation of the Mediterranean in the first century. Luke knew a lot about boats. I mean, he's a doctor, right? He's got a lot of extra cash. He likes boats. And he knows a lot about them. He uses a lot of technical language. He always shows up. Paul's about to get on a boat. I'm in. I'm ready to travel. He likes to get on boats, and he doesn't like pain. Yeah. Whenever pain's about to come, I got a few patients to take care of. I'm going to have to just check out of the scene. So, Luke's a fascinating fellow. The authorship and canonicity of Luke's gospel was never doubted, even though he was not an apostle or an eyewitness. Was that a question, Paul? Okay, yeah. Hands get up. Looks like a question. You know, some of the books of the Bible were questioned. It took a long time to decide if we should keep them in the canon or not, in the list of approved writings. For example, the book of Hebrews probably takes 350 years before the church finally agrees together that this is an inspired writing. But Luke, his gospel and Acts is never doubted. Always shows up in the early lists. It's one of the first accepted. always considered canonical. Luke and Acts originally were bound together and traveled as one book. There's a possibility that Luke had a plan for the third chapter, third installment. If you read the book of Acts, it ends so abruptly, very anticlimactic. Like there's this huge, exciting story about Paul, shipwreck, going to Rome, what's going to happen, and then it just ends. Well, what happened? We don't find out. How did it just end like that? Speculation, I think it's probably legitimate, that Luke had planned a third installment, but never got to it, or the Holy Spirit didn't need it. So there's definitely two installments. So Luke and Acts were bound together. Then sometime at the end of the first century, when the four Gospels began to be bound together, Luke was taken from Acts and bound with the four Gospels. But it's a two-part series. Luke, Acts. Written to the same person, this fellow by the name of Theophilus, which means a lover of God. It's a Greek language. This, my podium is slowly, it's like quicksand, sinking. Julius knows what to do. Can you help me out there? Thank you. Although actually, thank you, I'll just hold it. Actually, I can see it. It's not that one. It's those down there that work it, you know. I thought you knew what you were doing. Theophilus, and Luke calls him most excellent. He uses a technical term. Yeah, about right there is good. He uses a technical term for a Roman official. He'll get it, Paul. Don't worry about it.